Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Jack Lancaster is with me this morning as we get rolling on a new week.
Hi, Jack. Good morning.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. The 24th of July, 2 days away. Pioneer Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1847.
You have a retail establishment. Is that a big day for you?
No.
Okay.
It's a little bit bigger, but it depends on the day of the week that it lands on.
Yeah,
if it's a Friday.
It's a Wednesday this year.
Yeah, so it probably won't be a heck of a lot.
Okay.
Because it just depends on, you know, people taking the day off work and making a 3-day weekend or a 4-day. Like the 4th of July was nice because it was a Thursday, so people made a 4-day weekend.
Made Thursday better. I drove to Salt Lake and back this weekend. Traffic was not as bad. It was not good, but it was not as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah.
But one of the things I noticed, and you said you noticed this too recently, a lot of Teslas on the road.
Yes. Out of the blue, I noticed that like 2 days ago. Saw Teslas everywhere.
So the government under Joe Biden tried really hard to make us buy electric cars.
Yeah.
And in fact, putting threats out to car makers that you had to have a certain percentage of your sales had to be. And if you're in California, you know, they were totally phasing out combustion engines by
2035.
Completely. And, you know, so, but the American public was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But there, like I said, there were a lot of tests. I would say about, not counting trucks, you know, I don't mean diesels and buses and RVs. Passenger vehicles, I would say 10% of them on the freeway on my trip were Teslas. There was a lot of Teslas.
Yeah. Decent market share.
So
think about it.
You used to drive natural gas cars, right?
And that was
maybe going to be the future, and then it didn't. And
yeah.
Electric cars, a lot of people are looking for renewable energy source. And I mean, that's all a myth, I think, and everything. But
yeah.
What do you see? Are we Teslaized? Are electric cars here to stay? Is that the future?
Probably, you know. And it all depends on battery technology. It depends on how quickly they get to the next generation battery. I think the current generation batteries are good enough to put in a car and make it work and make it workable.
Right.
The problem is the rare earth elements, the child slave labor that it takes to mine those elements, the amount of environmental impact all the way around. Because when you add all that up, you don't really gain. If you're worried about your carbon footprint, which you shouldn't be worried about, if you're worried about that, then you're not really gaining anything by driving an electric car.
No.
So,
in fact, some say it's actually worse.
Probably, yeah.
But so, one of the things as I was driving, and first of all, I want to kind of preface everything by saying this. I like Teslas. I think they're cool cars.
Yeah, I think so.
I rented one once, and I had a great experience with it, except for the flat tire. By the way, most Teslas don't come with a spare tire.
Yeah, that's weird.
You have a flat tire, you're toast. But anyway, so I don't dislike Teslas, but as I'm sitting there passing one or getting passed by one, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I got enough gas to get home here. You know, I'm in Fillmore. I got enough gas to get home. Depending on how long that guy's been going, he doesn't have enough charge to get home. You know, and then when you do stop and charge, it's not like you can. I stopped at Maverick, you know, to get gas the other day and filled up and took me maybe 10 minutes max.
Yeah. Well, it depends on. Okay, so practically speaking, if I'm driving to Salt Lake or if I'm coming on a long road trip, and I know there's a Tesla charging station 100 miles away and I got 50 miles, but I know there's a non-Tesla station, I'm just going to put enough in to get me to the Tesla station, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just going to put enough in to get me to the next whatever until I can spend the night and have it charge all night and fully charge. That's, I think, what I would do if I was running if it was my car.
Yeah.
Or just plan on, okay, on this trip, I'm not going to worry about my time.
Hmm.
You know, when I stop, I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to relax. I'm going to, you know, drink my hot chocolate, have a piece of pie.
It doesn't seem very easy because we're a society that we want to get where we're going. I mean, how many times have you showed up at a family reunion or with friends or whatever? made good time on this one. Yeah, I got here in 3 hours and 17 minutes. Normally it's 3, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I know. That's us guys, though.
Yeah.
We like to do that. We like to rock and roll.
And you're testing, like, I made the 3 hours and 17 minute trip. I did it in 4:50.
Yeah, yeah.
Stopping church for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, like I said, if everything's timed right, it depends on your life, okay? If you're a young family with 3 or 4 kids, and you got the car seats going, and you're the guy driving, you want to get there.
Yes,
because in that car, it's a living hell. Am I right?
A little bit, yeah.
You know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yeah, you know, all that. Yeah. So, but when you're older, like we are now, we are in our silver-haired years, Andrew.
I refuse to acknowledge that statement.
It's just you and the missus, or me and the missus.
Yeah.
You know, I can relax. I can take a little bit extra time. I can enjoy, you know, little small town hospitality between point A and point B.
That's true.
But I can tell you this month, my wife and I took a road trip to Lake Tahoe. And I think out in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, you're hard pressed to find an electric charging station.
Yeah, good luck.
So, you know, we went through, what did we do? We left here, we went up to Enterprise, we went across to Panaca, over down to Kalahani, over to Tonopah, then hit the highway up to Lake Tahoe on the backside. So, you know, that's a long trip. I mean, that was 7 to 8 hours. But we stopped. We stopped at the little alien on the extraterrestrial highway. No charging station there, but there was a gas station.
Yeah.
And then we stopped at Tonopah. There may have been a charging station. I don't know. I didn't look, but we stayed at the haunted hotel there, the Mizpah, which was really cool. And then we went on in, and the next day we got up early and we got breakfast and we hit on up. So if there was a charging station, I don't know, halfway, maybe you could have made that work. If there's one in Tonopah, who knows? But, you know. But I think the point is that if you want to go somewhere that's cool, the small town America, kind of remote, probably not your best bet.
Yeah.
You know, especially if it gets cold on you, because then the battery efficiencies go down.
Or if you're pulling anything.
Or if it's really, really hot, you got to have, because this is what happened. It was hot. We had the AC going the whole time. So, yeah.
To your point about getting old and maybe slowing down to smell the flowers. I've driven that, you know, that Mount Carmel Highway that goes through, you know, Panguitch and down
Big Rock Candy Mountain.
I've driven that thing 100 times.
Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful drive too.
But up until a few years ago, I always had kids with me. And just a few years ago, just the wife and I, we stopped at the Mount Carmel Junction and got a homemade pie. Sat and had pie. And I, you know, it's kind of what you're talking about. It's like, do I have to be anywhere? Are there kids screaming in the back seat? Do you know, is there a deadline? No, I didn't have any of that.
You're right.
And so we actually stopped and had pie.
Yeah.
And met the hoe. No.
That's
what they claim. The hoe made pie. Hoe made pie. That's what they said. It's right on the sign.
Okay.
None of the waitresses actually fessed up to being the hoe in the homemade
pie.
Oh,
well, I don't blame them a bit.
But it's a cute place. So.
And that's at the Mount Carmel Junction?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah, right there at the turnoff.
Okay.
Yeah, when you head toward the, toward Zion.
Uh-huh.
I recommend it. I think it's good. I mean, it wasn't cheap, you know.
Yeah,
I think a whole pie was $20 or something.
Oh yeah, you know, well, so, you know, but kids got to make a living out there. Yeah, they're seasonal
for sure.
You know, they're not doing this in the wintertime. They're only doing they got to make their baby in the summertime, the tourist season.
Oh, you're right about that.
So I don't know. I think electric cars will probably be here forever. You know, I think they're good enough now that people are going to use them. And I look, if I was a commuting guy and I got a good deal on a Tesla, like I was, you know, when I was working here and chasing around town all day long. You know, after you know, if you take away the expense, the driving expense of a Tesla, I think is like a third of what a gas car is.
Right.
So, yeah.
Unless you count the hours it takes of your time to charge it.
So, again, if you had a charging thing at home, in your home, and I don't know what that is. I don't know. Can you plug it into a 120 in a wall? Or?
No. Well, you have to have like some kind of converter or something.
Yeah. So, if you could do that, then, yeah, you know, you plug it in at night, but then there's that day you forget to plug it in.
Well, and the other problem, now this was 10 years ago when I went to San Diego and rented one. It only charged like 8, if you used a regular charger, not a Tesla supercharger, it only charged like 8 miles per hour of charging. So if you charge it overnight for, say, 10 hours, you only got 80 miles.
And again, I would, you know, driving around town, I'd maybe do 20, 30 miles in a day at the most. So
which is not bad.
And most people would just commute. Like, you know, they get up in the morning, drive to work, drive home, maybe go to lunch, do some shopping. Not a big deal.
Not good for trips, pretty good for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Day use and things like that.
Yeah.
Going to Vegas, maybe. You know, there's going to be charging stations in Vegas
and
that kind of thing.
Always next to Starbucks. And that was a thing in Lake Tahoe. We stayed at the Hard Rock Hotel, and there was a charging station in the parking garage at the Hard Rock Hotel. And so we park in there, and I'm going, why are those people sitting in these cars? Oh, they're charging their cars. And, like, there's seven or eight cars, and everybody was sitting in their cars.
They're sitting in them, huh?
Uh-huh.
I hope they didn't have them on, because that kind of defeats the point of
charging. Well, I don't know, but, I mean, I don't think they stayed. I think they were just there to charge.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything else to do. So, yeah, there's that's fun. Sitting in the parking garage.
We went to a restaurant out near San Diego, and plugged it in the charging station while we ate and chopped around a little, an hour and a half, whatever. I thought, okay, I'm just going to charge it up in an hour and a half.
Because
it wasn't a Tesla supercharger. We went out, an hour and a half later, it had added like 20 miles or something.
Do you remember how much that cost?
It was a couple bucks.
Oh.
But it was disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought I was going to have a full charge when I came out. I did not. So, all right, a couple of things happened politically over the weekend. Of course, the big one, everyone's talking about Joe Biden announcing he is not going to actually, now he's going to pull out of the race, and he fully endorses Kamala Harris.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about that in a second. I did want to talk about our governor, though. Governor Cox originally said he would never, he hasn't voted for Trump, and he would never vote for Trump.
Oh, he said that.
He did. And then over the weekend, he came out and said, I changed my mind. I now endorse Trump. Flippity floppity Spencer Cox. What do you think?
I don't know. He won the how disappointing is it that he won the nomination for Republican Party? And I'm not surprised. I mean, it's really hard to unseat an incumbent governor on your party's ticket because there's so much momentum behind you.
Well,
there's so much name recognition and all that.
Yeah, I was going to say, plus there's 50% of voters didn't do any homework, and they just go and say, oh, incumbent, I'll vote for him again.
Yeah. So that, I don't know. I don't care. You know, I mean, the guy, I just read an article in the Deseret News just a minute ago about he was telling all the universities, because now the state law is that they can't have a DEI program or put money towards DEI. And he says, well, you don't have to disband your community outreach or your student outreach things. You can just change the name on the door.
Mm. Thanks, Spencer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he even sign that bill? I don't know. Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah. Yeah, I know. You're shaking your head. Me too.
Yeah. Frustrating. That Utah is supposed to be, I think St. George is, a haven of conservatism.
Well, St. George is a place where, you know, a lot of folks live that think like us.
Yeah.
Okay. Put it that way. Salt Lake City is what drives, you know, because it's the same thing in a lot of other states. You look at Illinois. It's a blue state. The state's not blue. Chicago's blue.
Yeah.
But it runs the state.
True,
true.
Yeah.
And basically, Salt Lake City is going to be running Utah. And Salt Lake City is getting very blue. It's purple now.
Yeah.
It's not even red.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, the mayor. Who's the mayor?
I don't know. Some lady.
But wasn't it a gay woman a couple years ago?
Yeah. And then that Rocky guy really had things.
But it was after Rocky. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the cities are going to run the rest of the state. And, you know, why is Eastern Oregon wanting to join Idaho? Because of Portland.
They don't want to be around Portland.
And when you look at the county map on who voted for Trump or who voted conservative, the only is like two counties in the whole state that went blue, which threw the state blue.
Yeah.
You know?
Same with Washington.
Same with Washington.
Same with a lot of states. So even New York. New York is pretty conservative.
Yeah, New York, same way, except for New York City.
Yeah.
So it really, I've always wondered in my brain is, why are cities left-leaning? Why are city people left-leaning? What is it about living in a city that makes you left-leaning? And I have really worked really hard on this question.
Did you figure it out?
I don't know. I can always come up with theories.
Okay.
One of them is that they're less religious. And I think a Bible-believing religious-type person is naturally going to be a little more conservative, because that's the principles that are in the Bible or
agreed,
that. You know.
Agreed, yeah.
And I think it's like a city person is more likely to be they live a more prosperous type life. In other words, it's easier for them. They work a job at whatever it is they do, and in a city there's opportunity to work at a specific job that's very specific, and so you can really dial in your skills. Whereas in a rural area, you have to be a jack of all trades, and so you do a little bit of everything, and so you don't really zero in on the one thing that you do. So that makes you hyper-productive, and the hyper-productivity makes you a little bit richer than the next guy. If you're more productive at what you do, if it's a marketable skill, you're more valuable, okay? So you make more money. Now, also city people tend to have fewer children. And if you have fewer children, then there's more opportunity for you to develop more of a nihilistic mindset. It's all about me. It's about me and my wants. What do I need? You become more narcissistic about things that you want. If you live in a rural area, it's more about community. It's more about family. And I think maybe that's the common denominator. That's the best argument I've got in my head right now.
Okay.
Unless you got a better one.
I do not. I often wondered that, you know, having lived in a couple of different big cities in my life, I was like, well, I'm not like a lot of these people.
Yeah, right.
I'm really not.
Well, not everybody's like that, but there's enough that it throws that thing. You know, when I lived in Chicago, I was an LDS missionary there. You know, I would run into conservative-minded type folks. Back then, Reagan was president, and they were still afraid to admit that they were conservative, even then. You know, this was in 81, 82. And so, you know, there's, but there, you know, nothing's homogenous, but I think that's the best explanation I got. I would like to hear a better one for that. But it always fascinates me.
So we talked about Cox a little bit and his flipping to now. He is endorsing Trump. I want to read you a statement from Sim Gill.
Who's that?
Sim Gill is the Salt Lake County District Attorney. He's all the high-profile, you know, cases.
Okay.
So this guy's a big shot. He's on the news all the time. Most of us could pick him out of a lineup because, I mean, there's a soundbite almost every night on the news. And anyway, a week, this is from a Deseret News story. A week after the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill tweeted, a dead body is more competent than Trump to be president.
Well, obviously, we know where he lands.
Yeah.
See, like that's my point, Salt Lake City. You know, he was elected, right?
Yeah.
So why?
So Gil later on, when asked about it, said, my tweet was not about Trump's body. I came out and have been against any type of violence. It was that if you could elect a dead person and that person would do more good for this country than him, if it was taken as anything else, that was and never would be my intent.
Okay.
That is why I tweeted
I understand.
The second tweet clarifying
well,
what I
meant. I understand that to begin with. He's saying that anybody's better than Trump.
And that's
exactly his point, and I get the point. I didn't think he was saying Trump should be dead.
Not just anybody. He's saying nobody is
better
than Trump.
Well, right. You know, that's the way I felt about Hillary being president. But
this is your Salt Lake County attorney, a guy in charge of all these high profile murder cases.
He's a Trump hater,
and he kind of, I don't know, secretly said, yeah, maybe the Trump getting shot, getting killed would have been a good thing. It kind of implies that.
No,
tweeted it the next day after the assassination attempt.
Wait a second. Well, that's the timing. I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
He's saying a dead body is better than Trump, meaning Joe Biden's the dead body. Right?
Well, kind of.
No, that's the way. Okay, so in other words, anybody's better than Trump. So the guy that's running the country right now, the empty vessel, is better than Trump. Right?
Yeah.
That's the way I took it.
Okay.
Just as you were reading it.
That was nice of you to take it that way.
Well, see, I'm a nice guy.
You are.
Yeah.
I read it, and I think a lot of people read it and went, wait a minute, we just had Secret Service, and by the way, the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle, anyway, is being grilled right now on Capitol
Hill. Yeah, she's a piece of work. But the problem, like I said, you cannot fire a DEI hire. You know why? Because you didn't hire them to be competent.
Right.
You hired them to be diverse.
Diverse, yeah.
Right. That's why they couldn't fire Kamala. That's inclusive. That's why they got to keep Kamala in there. That's why she's going to get anointed.
You think she will get it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, she's got the endorsement by half the Dems right now. Only one that hasn't.
Jimmy Kesta pointed out to me this morning, though, she has a lot of Democrats behind her, but you notice the Democrat leaders are not behind her. Some of the big names, Schumer and Pelosi and those guys, they're not.
Obama.
Yeah, Obama. Yeah, have not said, yeah, we endorse her.
Yeah.
I think that's telling.
Well, sure it is, because why would they? Why would they want to? I think if I was the Dem, I'd just say, let's just put her up and get it over with. We're going to lose this one anyway. Just be done with it.
Focus on the next one.
It's over. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, you got a president. I mean, this is the thing that blows my mind. Okay, the guy resigns because he can't handle running. What was his official reason for Biden for dropping out?
Didn't give one. But he said he was going to focus on his presidency, basically. That's what he said.
That's the point it'll get. If he can't run, how can he be president?
Yeah, he can't.
Okay.
I told my wife this yesterday at dinner. I'm like, here's a guy that said he can't do it anymore.
Right.
But he's going to do it for the next 5 months.
And so all the Dems that are on his side that are trying to get him to bow out, that were, now that they've succeeded, what gives him the where does he have the mental wherewithal to run the country for the next six months? And how is he going to do that? Well, he's going to do it the way he's been doing it, which is somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Which has always been the case. Yeah. And then why drop out? Because if he stays in...
Puppet master can continue.
Well, yeah, but if he stays in, basically it's a vote for Kamala.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's not going to be able to handle the next... I'm surprised he lasted this long, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
But then if he dropped out, then what? Then who's next? How are they going to do it? All these millions of people voted for Biden in the primaries. Doesn't that matter? Democracy is in trouble.
Imagine if he stepped down right now.
Yeah.
And made Kamala the acting president for the next 5 months.
Yeah.
She would then become the incumbent.
Uh-huh.
Right? And just that word right there, incumbent. We talked about it earlier with Cox. A lot of people go, incumbent, I'm just going to vote for them because they were president before.
Yeah. And it's not going to make any difference in the polls.
No.
Because
she is not well liked.
Not only that, it's just that people hate Trump so much.
Yeah.
People on the Dem side are not voting for Biden or voting for Harris or whoever. They're not voting for them. They're voting against Trump.
Yeah.
100%.
That's a terrible way to go.
But that's the choice they've got. Mm. They don't have a good choice. They don't have to. The only guy decent that was halfway decent they kicked out of the party, which was RFK Jr.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let me ask you. So you're a football fan, right? You love football?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Until they went woke. But I love the game.
I have
it's a beautiful game.
Good friend of mine who is a...
American football, not soccer.
Yeah. No, real football. Yeah, I have a friend of mine who is a huge, huge Ute fan. Loves the Utes.
Yeah.
Lives and breathes. He wears the... And he said, I have two favorite teams, Utah and anyone who plays BYU.
I've seen that posted.
And I said, I don't understand it. I like BYU. I really like BYU. I went to BYU. It was a great school.
Yeah.
But if Utah is not playing BYU, I want the Utes to win. They represent the state of Utah. I'm rooting for
them. You mean the Cougars?
You
said my favorite team is anybody that plays against BYU. The other guy.
The other guy, right.
Right. But if you see BYU game, you want them to win because they're a Utah game. They're a Utah team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I want Utah to beat anybody except BYU. If Utah goes this year 11-1 and the one loss is to BYU, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But he's not that way. He's like, no, I want Utah to go 11-1. I also want BYU to go 1-11 or 0-12 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're saying with Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or whoever and Trump. They don't care who wins as long as Trump loses. That's
yes.
a sad
yes.
way to work.
Yes, that is exactly right.
That's sad. I think it's
well,
sad.
Again, like I said, it's a choice they've got because they don't have, and they know, and that's the thing is they know they don't have a candidate that's worth a damn.
Yeah.
They really do know that, you know.
True. All right, let's do some weather, and we'll have more with Jack Lancaster. We'll talk about Biden stepping down some more. We'll also talk, I got a couple of other things in store for you here on the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for tuning in.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
I'm Andy, he's Jack. Thanks for tuning in. We're here on North Bluff Street in sunny and warm. Yes, already in the high 80s.
Hey, that's a break from what we've been dealing with, man.
Well, it'll be 107 today.
Oh, that's better than 117.
Thunderstorms later.
Man, we had a big one over at my house yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, rain, nice. Too? Oh, yeah. Rain, yeah. Came down in buckets.
I didn't get a drop.
Yeah, we had a street, you know, where the gully wash, where the street, the curbs flood. And
you had one of those, huh?
Yeah, we had a good one.
What part of town was this?
Washington.
Oh.
Yeah, in the fields.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, we're over in Middleton. Didn't get anything.
Yeah.
I feel kind of picked on here because during the last week, I've had three or four of my friends call me and say, man, it's raining. What's it like at your house? Nothing. Hey, look at it. And my daughter actually FaceTimed. Look, Dad, look at all the rain. I'm like, yeah, shut up. I didn't get any.
That's funny. It cooled it down. I was driving home in the rainstorm, and it cooled it down. My truck said it was 70 degrees.
No.
And then we went out in the car a couple hours later, and it was 103.
Very, very momentary cool down. Very, very momentary. All right. I have a couple of, but Bruce Lee. So when I was a kid, most of Bruce Lee's movies were rated R. And as a teenager, I didn't go to rated R movies. That was part of my little religious thing. I didn't do rated R movies. But I was able to see some of them later on TV or whatever. I couldn't tell, Jack, and you know maybe more about this than I do, but I couldn't tell if Bruce Lee was really who he was in the movies or if it was all an act. Because I go back to, Carradine guy used to play the Kung Fu.
Keith Carradine.
Yeah, and I think that was all in that. He wasn't even Asian, you know, Keith Carradine. And so when Bruce Lee came along, I was like, I don't know how to take him. Is he really this way? But apparently he really was very much a student of the martial arts and of Chinese, I guess, Zen. I don't know.
I don't know much about Bruce Lee, but I do know that he was authentic when it comes to the fighting he was doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here are a couple of Bruce Lee just little sayings. Know the difference between a catastrophe and an inconvenience.
Ah.
How many people do you know, Jack? Something happens, they're like, this is terrible. I don't know how we are going to.
Yeah.
And it's really actually not that big a deal. It's something that is inconvenient.
Yeah.
And you as a business owner probably run into this a lot. People that something happened, they're like, this is the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. But no, really, you have to say, look, it's a problem. It can be fixed.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective. But also know that in my life, I have been worn out and stressed out so much that a little thing like hitting too many stoplights was a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it is your state of mind. And if you're in the hard part in life, and this is my thing, is to keep yourself in a state of mind where the catastrophes feel like inconveniences and the inconveniences are just a bump in the road. And it's difficult to do all the time, but there are some times when we get beat up and beat down where the little things kind of set us off. It's that straw, that extra straw that breaks the camel's back. So to me that sounds like Bruce Lee is a person who, and I think you did a quote earlier, where he spends as much time thinking and practicing, you know, so I think about a thing and then I do something.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that in those times of my life when I was in huge amounts of stress that I had to get out and do something that was bugging me. And when I got off my butt and quit feeling sorry for myself and went after the thing that I was thinking about, that I immediately felt better because I felt like I was working the problem.
Here's a great Bruce Lee-ism will give you make you think a little. He said, don't fear failure. Not failure, but low aim is the crime. In great attempts, it is glorious even to fail. How many of us, and I do this, I am guilty of, okay, I can't do this thing, it's too hard, so I'm going to do this other thing that is easier, and then I'll feel great because I did it. Whereas if I'd have just tried the harder thing, even if I'd have failed, that would have been like Bruce says, quite an accomplishment.
Right, Right. If you aim high, let's say, for example, you're in sales. When I was in sales,
yeah,
it was always good to stretch what you thought you could do. You could do a projection. I'm going to do X number of dollars. I'm going to stretch another, you know, 10,000 for the month. I'm going to try to get there. And the funny thing is when I did that and I gave it an honest effort, I might not have gotten to that extra stretch, but I've gotten maybe halfway to that stretch, which was like more than I was originally going to do.
Yeah.
And so there's absolutely validity to that, and a good way to progress through your life, because then it forces you to be in a state of, I would say, discomfort, but you get used to that and you always are trying to strive to become better. And so you can apply that, whether it's to sales, whether it's to becoming a better person in life, whether it's trying to become, you know, the because as we go through life, we mature, we change, we become from, we become from sons, you and I, to brothers, to, young adults, to husbands, to fathers, then to grandfathers. And each one of those stages in life requires different things from us and different
Absolutely.
Knowledge bases.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to learn continually. And that's the thing I try to do. I try to learn continually.
What you habitually think largely determines what you will ultimately become. I think you're a big believer
absolutely.
In that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. One of the things you were talking about, this, you know, stretching and growing and getting better. It's easy, though, when you get to be our age. I'm speaking more specifically about me than you. It's easy to coast. Say, you know what? I made it this far so I could be comfortable. And I'm not talking necessarily about financial. I'm talking about everything.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable now. I want to just coast and cruise. It's hard for me sometimes to want to get better because I think I'm good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's a danger, I think you have to the problem is, and I think this is the way we're wired as humans, is we always have to have a challenge in front of us, something to look forward to, something to do.
Hmm.
You know, maybe a big vacation, maybe start a project that's a little difficult. You know, whatever it is that's going to stretch you, and then you know, like, for example, last January I made a commitment to go to the gym 3 or 4 days a week, and I've been actually pretty good with it.
You've done it,
you know. Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, I've gained 7 pounds, and I feel better.
It's all muscle. You're ripped, man. You got like the gun show is out right now, man.
But you know what I'm saying. So I wanted to do that, and the thing is the past 5 years, I've constantly said, I need to go to the gym. I bought a membership, and it was 2 years and I wasn't using it, you know.
Yeah.
How often do we do that? We buy the membership.
Oh, they're counting on it, as a matter of fact. My wife once said, why do they sell so many memberships? It's going to be so crowded. I'm like, no, it ain't going to be crowded.
Yeah. So, and I feel a lot better. And I think what sparked it for me is I went to the doctor, and he says, you're on high blood pressure. I'm going to put you on pills. If you come back in here in 6 months at a follow-up, I'm going to put you on pills. And I go, I'm not going to go on high blood pressure. That's an old person to that. I'm only 60 years old. What am I going to do? So, damn it, I'm going to go to the gym, you know. Yeah. So I started riding my bike. So I did my bike thing.
Yeah.
And then it got hot, or it got cold, rather, in the January. So I thought, well, I'm just going to start going to the gym. I always wanted to start lifting weights, you know, get rid of this belly. And so, you know, that's what I do. So now it's a habit.
Way to go.
Now it's a habit.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Obviously, not everyone can have that habit, or you know, time constraints, financial constraints can keep you from doing things. But there are a whole bunch of things we can all do just to try to get better. And I guess I'm going to challenge myself to be a little
live
better.
A debt-free life, for example. Yeah. Don't have any debt, yeah. You know, credit card debt, car debt, whatever it is, you know.
And I got to tell you, it's not always easy.
No,
if your neighbor has the coolest whatever, or your friend just bought himself a new truck, or whatever it is, you're like, I want that. I deserve that. Well, yeah, maybe you do, but do you want to go into debt? Do you want to, you know,
well, just think that $25,000 truck is actually going to cost you $30,000 if you buy it on time, or $35,000, $6,000, or $37,000.
Yeah.
Because after you buy the interest on that loan, that's how much it's costing you.
It's true.
You look at that contract when you sign it at the bank that says this loan will cost you this much money after you spread it out.
Very true.
But, you know, again, like what I hate debt. So every time I bought a car, I always get the longest loan that the bank will give me. And then I try to pay it off in a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah,
we're
the same way.
Yeah.
We're the same way.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk. So this dude did an acoustic analysis of the attempted assassination last week on Trump.
Okay.
And he said five of the seven shots sounded like the acoustic analysis sounded like proper distance shots.
Uh-huh.
So two of the shots sounded like they came from a lot further away. He used all this fancy acoustic equipment, and he says, can you explain that? Okay. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. 9:51 on KDXU. The time is drawing nigh, so we'll get right to it. A couple of things. First of all, David Carradine was the
guy. Yeah, we stand corrected. Thank you. Who was that?
Jan,
that listener?
Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
Protected it and so corrected.
Turns out Keith Carradine was the other guy. There's actually
there were three
brothers,
Carradine brothers that acted.
Yeah,
we learned all that. David, Keith, and Robert was the other one.
Robert, he was in Revenge of the Nerds. That's how I remember him. The nerd, okay. The big nerd.
Really,
him and Goose.
Goose.
Yeah, the guy.
Oh my, yeah. What is his real name? He played Mark Green on ER. That guy.
Yeah.
And Goose in Top Gun.
Yeah.
Okay. Story written on LouRockwell.com talks about the acoustic evidence of the shots fired at the Trump rally. Mike Adams, an acoustic expert, said there were seven shots fired in total, five from the distance of Crook's location and two from two different longer distances. Okay, another guy did a study on the shot angle of the shots that were fired, and the one that hit Trump did indeed come from above, probably from Crooks, but the one that killed Corey Comparator was shot at an upward angle. It was going up when it hit them. First I want to say that this was a website and is not necessarily the truth. But it seems that some of these firearms experts have concluded that there might have been a second shooter.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't remember. You were just a little kid to the Kennedy thing.
Yeah. I remember it vaguely, but yeah.
There was a report that came out and said it was just Lee Harvey Oswald. He was the only one. Yeah. And then since then, and it's been 60 years now, 61 years, people have been saying, no, there was a second shooter. And there's even a story he actually had two different occasions to shoot Kennedy. The first one would have been an easy shot. The second one, the one he actually took, was a very, very difficult shot at a weird angle.
Yeah.
And why in the world would he pass up on the easy shot to shoot a more difficult shot?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, as far as Trump goes, you had 10,000 witnesses there. You had shell casings, I assume, from where the shooter was.
Oh.
So how many shell casings are over there?
I don't know.
If there's four, and then now you got a story. Or if there's five, okay.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an expert on the wounds of the bystanders.
Yeah.
That they don't exist right now. But you're in a. Were these people that got shot and the guy that got killed, were they in the stands behind Trump?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
The one guy that got
was
killed.
Was there railings?
I don't know.
Well, there had to have been railings to keep people from falling off the edges.
There's usually railings, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so what if what if the bullet ricocheted off a railing and changed its trajectory and hit somebody?
Good point.
I'm just saying.
Don't know.
Because after he shot, right, he had the shooter had one or two clear shots before everything went to, from the shooter's point of view, everything went different. Because people are going to react, right? Everybody, sure. Trump drops down, everybody reacts. Mm-hmm. Now he doesn't have a clear shot. Now he's just shooting, trying to get lucky.
Yeah.
Right? He had that one clear shot he missed. Actually, had two shots I think he missed before. I think there was a shot, and then Trump reacted, and then there was another shot. I think if I'm remembering the video right.
Well, here's my question.
Before he dropped down.
Seven total shots rang out.
Yeah.
Did not the Secret Service fire at least one, maybe two, three?
Well, there would have been, yeah. So there would have been the other shot that would have killed the shooter.
Yeah.
All the reports I've seen.
Wouldn't that be one of the seven or two?
Well, I don't know. Because I think when I first was watching this the day it happened, that there was boom, 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 boom. And then boom. That's what I remember. And so there was like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then another shot. And in my brain, the assumption was that the first shooter, you know, shoots his rounds, snipers are dialing it in and then take him out. Because the snipers, he's got to worry about what's behind him. Is he going to shoot and hit anybody else? He's got to take a shot that's clean. He's got to be able to neutralize the guy.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to waste a shot, because then he knows that if he misses, then the guy's going to get on the move and they might lose him.
So,
I'm not a conspiracy-minded guy at my heart. I have a hard time with that. So, okay. And I know people want to assign a conspiracy and do that, because I'm more interested in how did this guy reconnoiter that spot so easily and so quickly, based on the fact it was he only had a week to do it.
Conspiracy people are saying that's because someone let him do it, that the Secret Service knew about it, that they let it happen.
Well, again, I don't assign nefarious actions when incompetence will explain it.
Okay,
that's kind of the way I roll on that. But the thing I do have a question about is why, you know, Trump is bouncing all over the country or all over these swing states doing these rallies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It seems odd to me that you've got a guy who's willing and able, and not a lot of people on this planet or in this country are literally willing and able to be a sniper.
Thank goodness.
To take a shot like that. Absolutely, thank goodness. So the fact that you've got a rally, and how far did this guy live from the rally site? Do we know that?
Yeah, and not far. He was a fairly local
rally
guy.
In his neighborhood?
I think it was within an hour.
So he had to have been planning this in his mind for years.
Yeah, perhaps.
In my mind, you know, maybe he would have been the next school shooter. I don't know.
And yet he walks in, people see him climb up on a roof,
all
across the roof.
Mass incompetence. Is
but some people, it was so incompetent that it couldn't be incompetent.
I don't know. Well, again, remember, who's the head of the Secret Service? We've got a DEI hire.
Yeah.
Okay? DEI is ruining everything it touches.
True.
Because it's not about getting the best person for the job.
Right.
It's not.
It's about inclusion.
So, again, incompetence will explain a lot of this.
And that's exactly the opposite of the American dream. The American dream has always been the best survive. You try your hardest, work your hardest, and if you outwork the other guy, then you survive.
And that happens most of the time for most people.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's not a fair world. The world's not fair. If you work hard, sometimes you're going to fail or whatever.
It occasionally happens, okay? For sure.
But the point is now in this crazy world, is we have a political party that thinks that in order for you to get a government job, you have to be a member of this oppressed class, whatever it is. You know,
yeah.
Line up your oppressions, let's stack it up, and then of those oppressed people, we're going to pick the one that makes sense to us, which is why we have the vice president we do, which is why we have the Secret Service person, which is why we have the Homeland Security guy that we do, which is why we have the transportation secretary that we do. All these people are DEI hires.
True.
And the Homeland Security, he's in charge of Secret Service and he's in charge of the border. How well is that job doing?
Not so good.
Okay.
Not so good.
How was transportation secretary doing? How's his job going?
That has been a nightmare.
You know, Palestine, East Palestine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So how's the vice president? Can we talk Venn diagrams and yellow school buses? I'm looking forward to that debate with her and Trump. I just got to say, that's going to be fun. Did you see the response to when she challenged J.D. Vance to a debate? J.D. Vance responded, well, we'll see who the vice president nomination is going to be. Then we'll figure it out if we're going to do the debate.
Nice.
This is before Biden dropped out.
He's Jack. I'm Andy. Thanks for listening.